What day is it, Neil?
It's 10-4, good buddy.
10-4. Does that mean Monday? Oh, no, it's 10-4.
It's 10-4, good buddy.
It is 10-4, good buddy. That it's actually October 4th.
My youngest grandson's birthday, Jacob Smith. Jacob is an incredibly special young man. He's so special at his school, Ed. I don't know if you even know this.
Uh-huh.
Go check what they're doing at Callaway. They're taking the whole week off this week.
Oh, because of his birthday?
I guess.
Or is it because of fall break?
Oh. Golly, it's probably fall break. I was thinking it was just because he was that special. But
happy
he's special to me, but congratulations on everyone else getting the week off.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Jacob Smith. He's 18?
He is 18.
Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yeah, he is getting up there.
Wow. And he's the one. I want to make sure I have this right because I know you've got like 40,000 grandchildren.
Yeah, three.
I know, right?
Three.
You have three grandchildren. Jacob is the one that's in the press box with you?
He is, yeah. Tyler did it for a while.
Right.
He's become an adult and has a job now.
Yeah.
So he's unable to do that. Still a big racer fan, and now Jacob has taken his place.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What a sweet gig. They basically spot for you, right?
Spot, and they do a little bit in terms of equipment setup and tear down, things of that sort, and occasionally you'll do some running of some of the stuff on the computer and stuff like that. So
I wish I could do that. That sounds like a sweet gig.
Yeah, it's a good gig. And if you're wondering, well, grandkid number three, will they be in the booth in a year or two when Jacob starts to get a real job? That would be Josie. She has zero interest in it whatsoever. None. She doesn't really like many sports at all. So you have to realize.
She's the one you take to softball?
The job I have doesn't impress her in any way whatsoever. But I think I told you the story that one day she's on the bus a few years ago. And this little kid behind her, one of her buddies, he says, "Who you texting?" He goes, "My granddad." She goes, "My granddad. Who's your granddad?" I said, "Neil Bradley." She says, "Oh, my. He's the voice of the Racers. He's famous." And she said, "No, he's my granddad."
Oh, whatever.
He's like,
What a way. Screw that.
He's not at all.
Not even that famous.
He's just my granddad. That's all he is.
Nobody cares.
Sit back down. I don't care. But that's
she doesn't understand you have like a 30-year legacy of the voice of Murray State Athletics.
Doesn't care.
That's unbelievable.
Doesn't make a difference at all.
Well, here's what I was kind of getting at as we've digressed here immediately.
We've way digressed.
I love it, though. It sounds good. It's a good way to start our 10-4, our Monday here, October the 4th. We don't get to podcast too terribly often on Mondays anymore. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and my job. So on my way to work this morning, had an electrician stop by, fix our stove top so the dishwasher could cook more meals for us.
Of course.
You know, if she's listening, I hope I'm still, you know, married by the end of this podcast. And then...
Were you shocked at the bill from the electrician?
It wasn't, you know... No, I don't even have anything for that. That's really good. Nice, Neil. I was going to say something about I have plenty of currency, but
of course,
we're good to go. Yeah. Anyways, bad jokes on this, October 4th here in Murray, but yes, your grandson, let's go back to that. Your grandson, 18-year-old Jacob Smith, got a chance to see a pretty good football game on Saturday.
He did. Yeah. Watched a really good game defensively. I thought the Racers were outstanding the entire game. I still want to see him be a little more efficient offensively. However, let's give some credit to Eastern Illinois. They had a couple of dudes, Johnson and Dandy. I'll tell you, they brought it. I was really impressed by them.
Dandy. Russell Dandy?
Yeah.
He's good.
Give them a lot of credit on how well they played. So I think that had something to do with it, more than just the Racers being inefficient. I don't really think that was as much that as let's just tip our helmets to Eastern Illinois in that one.
Well, let's tip our helmets again to the fact that they weren't winless either. They came in a really tough start for them to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they rolled out 0-4.
Yeah.
And then went and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they beat Tech at Tech?
Beat them at Tech. That's their first road win since 2019.
Does anyone know how hard it is to win at Tech? If there's any team that knows how hard it is to win at Tech, it's Murray State University.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody seems like they go to Cookeville and there's just this void of no good playing football.
I know.
That was a poorly constructed sentence, but it's true. Like, it's you go there and you just forget how to write. You forget how to play football. You forget. You just forget.
I think it's the nice video boards. Like, wow. It's an awesome video board.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that's in the OVC.
Yeah.
And game's over? We lost?
21-20? Damn. Wow. That sucks. Like, why did we lose in Cookeville?
But they've improved. But I like what the Racers did. They took the bye week. I think if you really watched the game closely, you'd notice the Racers weren't all that healthy.
No,
some missing bodies out there on both offense and defense. They were able to go next man up, get it done. Preston still without a touchdown pass, but was efficient in moving the team downfield. I think all in all, had a pretty good day. Got the receivers more involved, even they didn't. They haven't had that touchdown catch yet. And then DeMonte Witherspoon, fabulous. Seems like when Eastern Illinois shows up, Aaron Baum goes, hey, big day for me. Had 4 field goals when the teams met in the spring. Had a perfect day. He earned Specialist of the Week honors through his perfect day of 3 field goals and no missed extra points. So a big day for Aaron Baum. That's a good story, too. If you've read it, a couple of people have talked about it, but I'm glad to see him doing well.
We've got some breaking news here for Murray State men's basketball. We will actually get to that in a few minutes.
Okay.
I do believe I've got some details there. But
going back to the Valley?
Yeah.
Is that it? Oh, we're jumping the gun. Sorry, that's later.
Good Lord. We'll get to that in a few minutes. My goodness. Wow.
We're technically in the Valley, but let's move on.
But
what'd you have?
Holy moly. I've just lost a train of thought. I had like 4 things going on at once. Between thinking about Missouri Valley, listening to what Murray State men's basketball's commitment is right now, and then just trying to analyze everything about the Murray State football game from this past Saturday, my brain just kind of froze there for a split second. Going back to this game, you're exactly right, Neil, about Eastern Illinois. You've got to give them a lot of credit. You've got to give them that hat tip. Absolutely. A terrific game plan from them. And again, had a lot of momentum coming into Saturday with the big road win at Tech. That being said, I'm glad you've mentioned defense because I wrote a lot about it over the weekend. Defensively, this is a Racer football team that, number one, has given up 6 points at home in 8 quarters. Number two, held Bowling Green and Cincinnati to 2 possessions, essentially, 2 scoring possessions in the first half of both of those games. And it's different guys getting it done. It's not the same guy. You know, one weekend it's Alec Long. The next weekend it's LaJuan Powell. The next weekend it's Marcus Floyd. Like, mm-hmm. It's all different guys. This past weekend, Marcus Floyd had 3 pass deflections. LaJuan Powell had 3 tackles for loss. Powell's a freshman.
And he had the quarterback sack that knocked the quarterback out. Hopefully Otto Kuhn's okay.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah, he just leveled him.
LaJuan Powell!
Yeah, there are 12 guys on this team, Neil, that have 10 or more tackles in 4 games. And I know that doesn't sound like a ton, but you start thinking about like where all of the attack is coming from.
Right.
You've got, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the team has 11 sacks already in 4 games. I mean, if you told me you were averaging 3 sacks a game almost, and you've already played Cincinnati and Bowling Green, what? Like, you're just getting a lot of pressure, and you're making teams really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I agree about the offensive execution. If you had told me right now through 4 games that Murray State would be 2-2 and Preston Rice would be 0 passing touchdowns with 8 interceptions and 5 rushing touchdowns, you know, you would, I mean, and that's not I'm not necessarily indicting Preston Rice at all. He's making some hella good throws, especially on the sidelines. I'd say of the 8 interceptions, I'm not a mathematician by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not necessarily sure how football math works. But I'd say of those 8 interceptions, 4 are probably his fault, and 4 are probably timing issues with receivers. Either a poor routes run, not coming back to the football, or it's just dumb luck. Like maybe that first interception against Bowling Green, you know, where he had DeShaun Britton right there on the flat. DeShaun catches it, gets flipped absolutely out of oblivion, and they get the interception. You know, you had a couple of those. But I think there's just been a bad mix of bad luck versus some poor throws in key situations. And we have to remember, 5 of his 8 interceptions have now come against FBS opponents. So
he's managed the game well for the most part.
Yeah.
But here's the difference in Murray State football 2021. And for the most part, Murray State football, in the last 10 years, 8 of those years, if you'd had a quarterback, not the last 2 Hood years, but a quarterback who had no touchdown passes through 4 games, you know what your record would have been, Ed? 0-4. That's what it would have been. Because that'd been a lot of 3 and outs. The defense would have been on the field the whole time. and it wouldn't have worked out. Now you have a team that can run the ball. The Racers run it really well, including Rice. Witherspoon's doing well. Castile's doing well. So you like that part of the game. And then this team is a great defensive team. I think defensively in the OVC, they're going to get a huge test. Here's their big test coming up on the road against Tennessee Martin in the conference opener. They have a tremendous quarterback in Keon Howard, 61% completion rate, 7 touchdown passes. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He's picking up about 47 yards a game. They got a terrific running back in Peyton Logan. And then they throw to Logan out of the backfield. And then Colton Dowell, a fantastic receiver as well, picking up about 72 yards per game. So this is going to be an amazing test for the Racers coming up in their opener at UT Martin. I just got the rankings out. They're 21st ranked this week, so a chance to beat a ranked opponent on the road. If the Racers leave with that one, they may crack the top 25 as well the following week.
No, absolutely, and this is a ridiculously difficult challenge for the Racers. I think a lot of people, you knew UT Martin wasn't going to stay down too terribly long. And with Jacksonville State and Eastern Kentucky both, you know, vacating, as well as Austin Peay vacating the OVC, there was going to be a void of top talent. You know, somebody had to fill that in. That was going to be UT Martin. And good Lord, aren't there? You mentioned their top 25. That's only going to climb if they beat the Racers this Saturday.
Right.
It's at UT Martin. I know that you and I were there for the driving rain win, which was terrific, but it's so hard to win at
Martin. It's tough place to win. It's supposed to be. Winning college football games on the road is difficult. It is difficult. Mm-hmm. And Racers are, I mean, even if they were perfectly healthy, this is going to be a tough task, but they're not perfectly healthy. Martin's had that extra week to prepare. A lot of things stacked against the Racers, but we'll see how it turns out. I like the way they're playing defensively. But they have to pick it up, I think, a little bit offensively to come out with a win in this one.
Well, they just made everybody uncomfortable. That's the one thing. That's the one consistent thing I have seen in all four games, Neil, is they have made every single team uncomfortable.
Right.
All the way down to the end of the line. It doesn't matter if it was number 7 Cincinnati or Bowling Green, you know, Mississippi Valley State, Eastern Illinois. Nobody has looked comfortable in the pocket. Everybody's had to adjust, and you know, halftime adjustments from two FBS teams were obviously the difference. And we knew that was coming. I mean, we knew that was coming. Those were probably two expected losses on the schedule, but you went in with a great game plan. And again, you made guys have to kind of reroute their ship just a little bit. Desmond Ridder had to come into the locker room and say, guys, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, Bowling Green was just like, hey, guys, are we really going to lose in our own homecoming? You know, so they had to figure things out. So I think that's a testament of just how good this defense can actually be. And the best part is that's probably your healthiest unit right now.
It is, yeah. They do have Scotty Humpick. He didn't play this past week.
Right.
So missed him. And Edmondson didn't play either.
Right.
Still dealing with that ankle issue. I have a feeling he probably will be ready to go by the next week.
Right.
This week's game.
And it's been iterated to me more than once that and again, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I don't know if Preston is 100%.
Right.
I don't know that either. I don't want to speak on that at all as far as like actually knowing, but it's been hinted to me. I mean, you take a look at some of the shots he took against Cincinnati, some of the shots he took against Bowling Green. I mean, I would not be surprised at all if he's got a bruise or two on a throwing shoulder. Again, not trying to make any excuses, but if you go back and you look at the game plan, watch the film, Preston didn't really take off and run as much against Eastern Illinois, and that's part of his game.
But when they needed to run at the quarterback, they brought in DJ Williams. He did well in his limited snaps. However, as of right now, if you're the defensive coordinator from the other team, you're going to load up for the run with DJ Williams, because every time he comes in, with one exception, he has ran the ball, not thrown it. So until he proves he can throw it, and heck, he may be just an unbelievable throwing quarterback, but we don't know. And as of right now, they're going to play the run. He gives the Racers that extra running back in the backfield.
Absolutely. Dean Hood, actually, I asked about that, Neil, and that's part of my story. I asked Dean, I said, man, DJ's looked really good, you know, in his package plays. Is he just packaged to run? And Dean said no. You know, you go take a look at my story from this past weekend. Dean said specifically, took about a minute to describe that DJ, there is some RPO there, but that he has a full grasp of the offense. It just so happens they've had to audible out of a pass three or four times.
Right.
He's supposed to have five, six, seven pass attempts at this point. And I understand that sounds gadget, but for the most part, his touchdown run, he said, was ad hoc.
Right.
He said that he made a read through the A-gap.
And, boy, he made it, too.
He made it.
That hole was driven a semi through there.
And he read it. He was supposed to pass on that play, is what Dean said. Dean said that there were two reads for him, two to three reads, where he could make a safe check down, a shot at the end zone, and maybe something over the middle if it was there. And because the A-gap opened, DJ mentally said, I'm checking in that play.
Yeah.
And took off for the touchdown. And if you really think about it, outside of Aaron Baum's perfection, which earned him Specialist of the Week, it's good to see that kind of turn right back
around. Yeah, he solved whatever problem he had early.
That unit's too good to have not solved that problem.
Right.
I thought the early miscues were just timing.
Yeah.
The leg is there. My goodness, he has got a ridiculously strong leg.
And Aaron, by the way, you're 2-2 no matter how well you kick. That's the record. The record wasn't going to change.
Yeah.
So if you'd hit those three field goals, wouldn't have made any difference.
The scoring average would have been a little higher.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We're still 2-2.
Yeah.
That didn't affect any game.
You didn't change the game.
It might from here on, so it's great that he's kicking well now.
Right.
But it had no impact on any game.
But I want to – but just going back to all of that, yeah, it's absolutely – I don't know. I mean, it was just – it was cool to see DJ. That's just kind of what I'm getting back to.
Mm-hmm.
DJ is probably an option if Preston gets hurt.
Well, sure.
Obviously, they continue to put him in the right positions to succeed. But I mean, you've got the early touchdown, and we haven't even mentioned DeMonta Witherspoon, who kind of really turned it on against Eastern Illinois.
Yep.
You know, you have him turn it on, DJ's rushing touchdown, and a few critical throws from Preston when you needed them, and a defensive win. And I asked Dean about an ugly win. It's not an ugly win. It's a win.
Yeah.
You know.
And Brooks made some really difficult catches, I thought. They were well defended and made great catches on those. They helped keep drives alive that ended in scoring plays, eventually either the touchdown or a field goal. So a tremendous game, I thought, for Brooks, even though it wasn't eye-popping stats really for any of the receivers. It was a solid game by him.
Absolutely. I want to go ahead and dovetail into this really quick because I'm getting details just as quickly and as rapid as possible. Murray State has actually landed the commitment, I believe, of 6'10 forward, Cornelius Williams. Is that right?
Yeah, he was in on campus this weekend. We ate at an establishment, and they were clearing out a table for he and another recruit who were in on a visit. I know they felt pretty good about it, but, you know, you never know. Obviously, he liked what he saw when he comes in on a weekend and then on Monday morning goes, yeah, I'm in.
Unreal. I'm getting details literally as rapid fire
you like
as possible
size
at the moment. Yeah, he's 6'10", and here we go. I'm going to get on his verbal commitments just right now. 6'10", power forward. Currently
there's no centers anymore.
I know, right? he's from Combine Academy, Beaumont, Mississippi.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
It looks like he had offers from the following schools: North Carolina A&T, Grambling State, Houston, Tulsa, Old Dominion, Southern Miss, VCU, East Carolina, Bryant, Robert Morris, Austin Peay, Mercer, Jackson State, and Coastal Carolina.
Okay, some really solid schools in there.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice get. I think there's a lot of people. He's listed as 6'11", and a couple of spots, 6'10", 260.
So he's not a beanpole.
Whoa. I knew that he was in to visit, but I am quite surprised. Wait, there's no way he's 6'11", 260. My apologies there.
Okay.
No, he is not 6'11", 260, but he is 6'11".
Okay.
6'10", 6'11", about 215.
Okay.
There was another literally spelled the same way, a football player that was 6'10", and 260. I was like, there's no way.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like there's no way he's 6'10".
I don't want to go up against that guy.
No, but even Cornelius Williams, congratulations to Murray State men's basketball. That brings up a question for me. That's your third commitment for the class of 2022.
Yeah.
Do we even want to get into scholarship? Scholarship math matters not in October. My goodness. Wow.
We have a lot of work to do, and those things work themselves out.
Yeah, here's
what
I've
coach speak.
Yeah, it is the coach speak. Here's what I've been iterated, or I have iterated, and it's been iterated to me. Again, I think there is an extreme possibility that Tevin and KJ, knock on wood, if they have terrific seasons, this is their fourth year with the program statistically. Tevin, it feels like it's year it is year five for him because he had to redshirt that first year. You know, there just seems to be this. Let's put it this way: there's a magnificent opportunity for those two young men if they play really well. I think. And we'll just leave it at that. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that means draft status, if that means free agency, if that means a rookie deal. I don't know what that means. If that means overseas, I'm not sure what that means. But there certainly is a unique opportunity for those two young men if they play the type of basketball that they're capable of playing over the next 6 months. Speaking of that, you know, college basketball is like 40 days away.
Well, the thing you haven't talked about, and we whined and whined and whined about it, we have basketball schedules, and we've never mentioned them. They just got released.
It's true. They did get released, and then we were just like, oh, okay, whatever. We've been waiting for them for so long. We don't even care anymore.
Don't care now. We're not going to even mention them now that all the schedules are released. So what?
It's true. It's true. It's not that I'd even forgotten about them. It was just like, oh, we got them finally. Jeez, here we go.
The two games we were waiting on, let's be honest, really not much that you really wanted out of that. But the men added in Cumberland and Tennessee Wesleyan. Uh-huh. Those are the two games that they were missing. So
right.
I'm not sure that those are the two that they were kind of wanting to add, but it was to the point that we got to put somebody on the schedule.
Yeah.
So that's what they have. They got Debrecha exhibition on the 1st, then Cumberland and Bellarmine at home at Illinois State, then the Naples tournament, Campbellsville at home, Middle Tennessee at home at Memphis. That is going to be a Friday night game, Tennessee Wesleyan, Chattanooga, Auburn, and then the conference schedule. And then just for the women's side, we talked a little bit about a couple we knew they had, but they get Trevecca Nazarene. I think that's exhibition. Then Asbury in an 11 a.m. game on campus at Missouri, Cumberland's, Chattanooga, Mississippi Valley State, Alabama A&M, Evansville, Samford, North Alabama, Lipscomb, Florida, and then their conference schedule begins.
That Chattanooga, that's a doubleheader, isn't it? Men's, women's?
I don't know. With the same school?
I'm almost certain that the Chattanooga game is a doubleheader men's, women.
It is not.
It is not?
No, the men play Chattanooga on the 29th, and the women play them on the 19th.
That doesn't even make any damn sense.
Well, I mean, they're not coordinating.
I know they're not coordinating. Schedules. I get that, but it would have been great to have had Chattanooga in the house for both schools at the same time. That would have been awesome. That would have been a really cool setting.
Well, the
setting.
Men will be in Florida.
Yeah, I get it. So I thought for some reason that maybe those would be coordinated.
Well, it's
I
guess Friday not. Night, but they'll leave the next day to go to Florida.
We say these things. I want to go back to the two games that we just mentioned because I know that Murray State and Western has been announced into a four-game series.
Right. Yeah.
Starting 2023-24, there had been some rumors, some matriculations that might get bumped up to be an earlier. It did not, but it does seem like they've worked out a really nice four-year deal to bring that rivalry back.
I really do.
I do, too. I get it.
It's a good game.
I know why it hasn't been on the schedule for a long time, and I get it. I'll leave it at that.
I'm not getting into this one.
I'm not either.
Let's just say I'm glad it's on the schedule. It's a good game. I like having them.
Yeah.
I know SIU's not on our schedule this year, but I have a really strong feeling they'll be back on the schedule next year.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Yeah, that's all. I have a really...
It's like, will we play them at home or away? And the answer would be... Yep.
Yeah, the answer will be maybe both.
I don't know.
Do you play them twice?
I don't know. I know nothing.
I don't know. Let's just, you know what, we're here. Real quick before I jump into that. Look, here's the thing with the schedules. I've had some whatever. I get where fans maybe complain about those types of games. You know, your Trevecca Nazarenes and your Christian schools and things like that and your in-state, NAIA, whatever. Look, there are two games that Murray State men's basketball thought they were going to have this year, and they don't have them. So you had to fill them in as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
If you look at where they are on the schedule, I'm not trying to excuse it. I know every time the Racers take the floor, you wish they were playing a D1 or a major, high major, or whatever, and you wish it was just on ESPN, and I get that. I'm not trying to take anything away from that at all, but you take a look at the three games outside of the home opener. The two games that you play against non-Division I opponents are pretty strategically located. Because you take a look, and one of them's near the holiday, and I believe one of them's right after you get back from Naples. Is that right? Did I have that time right?
Campbellsville, right. Yeah. That's on a Monday.
Yeah.
And that's if you're going to play that game, that's a good time to have it.
Right.
That opener is always good to have one of those where, okay, if we come out nervous, we could still win that one. And I always like having that one after Christmas, although that is not the case this time.
Right.
It's
close, though.
The Christmas game, the first game after Christmas, is a league game against SEMO.
Which, I mean, you got to come out. I mean, that's great. Yeah. But the other one is relatively close to Christmas. Do I have that timing right?
The 14th, yeah.
Okay, so the week before you leave for Christmas.
Right.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like it's three back-to-back-to-back and there's just no momentum build up. Like, one comes back, like, one is like when you literally get off the bus almost from Naples. Like, you're just going to be exhausted. That's going to be a game where I would imagine, if I had to guess, McMahon's literally throwing all their guys out. Just 15 guys, just take a break, relax, we're home, thank goodness. You know, and again, I understand, you know, you go take a look at the 2014-15 season, and I believe you opened the year against Houston. Is that right? Did you open the year against Houston that year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, lost a close game to Houston at home. You'd love to have a home game like that for a highly anticipated season, but, you know, sometimes you just don't get what you want. I do know for a fact, and you know as well, Neil, that two of those three games were supposed to be Division I opponents that have since floated on down the line. They will be games that are made up later. That's what we've both been iterated, and that's okay. Like, that's just how it worked. Like, this year, some teams wanted to reroute their schedules, and the Racers obliged that.
Right.
And I think that's friendly competition. That's just how that works.
Yeah.
And if you really take a look at your homework, you'll notice the two teams kind of got together themselves and decided they would play. So it's SIU and University of Arkansas Little Rock. I mean, so I don't know what all this is alluding to, except
and it may be nothing.
It may be nothing.
I don't know.
All I can say is, I keep hearing a lot of different things, and let's just get into it.
Can't confirm any.
Can't confirm a thing. I can't. I'm trying. I it's not going to be me. I hope it's you, Neil.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm getting stuff that, the athletic director at Drake. Well, I mean, they're in the Missouri Valley Conference. I know his grandson's brother's janitor's sister's cousin's uncle. And they say, well, that's kind of where we are now.
Right.
Everything is second and third party. I don't have anything. I have nothing directly from anyone.
I don't either.
With any close knowledge to it. You know, if you think, I bet Kevin Sauls told you all sorts. Nope. He hasn't. I bet Dr. Jackson. No.
Nope.
Dr. Jackson is a very smart man, which means he doesn't consult me on athletics and academics.
They're also very busy.
That would
at the
be
moment.
Bad if he did. So, he has his hands full with the academic side,
right?
And he's taking time with the athletics too, but I mean, you know, Kevin's working on it. Is that statement that he released basically alluded to? He's looking for the best possible solution for Murray State, just like every school has done. I don't blame everyone. You know, you don't want to blame Austin Peay or Jacksonville State or Eastern Kentucky. You need to do what's best for you, just like with your family, Ed.
Right.
I'm not going, well, I don't know why Ed bought that house. What did he buy that house over there for? Why is he driving that car? What's your business? It's not my business.
Right.
You need to do what's best for your situation, and I feel the same with every school administration as well. Do what's best for you and hope it works out. When Western and Middle left, there were all sorts of folks. Oh, that's dumb. Why are they? It worked out for them, right?
They made a decision
they made
that
good
was best
decisions.
For them.
They did.
I have an inclination that Murray State will eventually be in the Missouri Valley. Do I have that on some sort of concrete authority on high? No, I don't. If I were reading tea leaves, which is probably a really bad hobby, but if I were reading tea leaves, I would say that Murray State is very likely eventually going to be in the Missouri Valley, and that the holdup or the discussion process is, what do you do with everybody else? Like, what do you do with certain programs on your campus, your premises? What do you do about football?
That's the main one.
I don't, and I'm not trying to besmirch that. I'm not trying to look down on that at all, but it has been, let me put it to you this way. It has been iterated to me by more than one source that Missouri Valley Football Conference, the former Gateway Conference,
right,
does not want to expand. Don't get me wrong. If Murray State were Stanford or UCLA or something like that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll bring your football program in. It's a knock on Murray State football, but then again, it's not. The Missouri Valley Football Conference is in great shape.
They can say we're happy where we are right now.
They can. They don't necessarily need to expand. They're not looking to bring in more opponents.
No.
They have a stout as hell stacked roster.
Mm-hmm.
Western Illinois just took SIU. Everybody dogging Western Illinois. Say, oh, they just wouldn't be good enough for the Ohio Valley Conference. They just took SIU football to overtime.
Top 10 team.
So kiss that ass right there. Yeah, I'll say it. So, like, all I'm saying is that the Missouri Valley Football Conference feels very confident with their current profile.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need Murray State football.
They
or
don't.
Anyone. It's not.
Yeah, they're not looking for anybody.
It's not like, well, it's not you, it's me. Like, if we're going to talk about this from a relationship standpoint, it's like we're good. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to date you right now.
Exactly.
I'm fine.
I'm happy.
I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if Murray State football were Montana or Eastern Washington or something like that, then sure, they'd probably be like, oh, you.
Well, that's a different deal.
That's a different deal. But we're in a scenario where Murray State football, in the meantime, can tell the Ohio Valley Conference, you know, would you like to keep that auto bid?
Yeah.
Would you like for us to be that sixth team? We've been bringing our football program along for the last 5 to 10 years, a little bit of money here and there.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to improve it. How would you like to keep an FCS auto bid to the playoffs for a champion, but meanwhile, we're going to take all the rest of our happy selves out of here somewhere else,
right?
And you give us a lower exit fee.
Yeah.
We'll keep you FCS playoff auto bid compliant. We're going to take what's best for us at the next level, be that the Missouri Valley or some other conference that comes calling, and we do that. That's what I think is extremely possible and could possibly be in the works, but I don't know that.
As of right now, though, unless something has changed, there's no associate memberships for football in the OVC. They did previously allow them. They let Western in.
There is a precedent.
And then they ultimated Western and said, look, either you're in or you're out.
Right.
You need to make a decision, and they decide they didn't want to do it. They went to the, I guess, Missouri Valley Football Conference for just a small amount of time. Racers ended up playing them in the playoffs, actually, in 2002. And then they decided to take the jump up. So that's where they are right now. But for the Racers, I'm not sure where they'll land, but it would take some action on behalf of the presidents to say, yes, we'll allow associate memberships. And I have to admit, if that's what does happen, keeping the Racers in the OVC right now, especially, I don't think that's a bad deal, especially if you are bringing in another team or two at some point.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if they are or not, but if they are, that's good.
If you have Murray State leaving, and again, we're going to continue to say if, we do have to acknowledge the fact that Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, did happen to tweet out
that he's hearing it from somewhere.
He's hearing it from somewhere that the Racers will soon be getting an invite. I'm going to take that for what it's worth. Matt doesn't really tweet that stuff out loosey-goosey.
But he also didn't report it was happening.
He didn't.
There's a difference from it's happening to I'm hearing it's happening.
Right.
That's two different things.
It is.
If he said it's happening, I'd take it to the bank.
I would, too.
And the fact that he says he's hearing it, you might take that to the bank. I just don't know what his source is on it.
I know Matt Jones gets a lot of, I don't know, a lot of people get frustrated because sometimes he kind of,
His politics has nothing to do with whether he's accurate or not, and for the most part, except when he's, most every year it seems like 40-0 in basketball. Okay, that's his heart talking,
right.
So let's sweep that out the window. But most of the time, he's pretty accurate on his predictions, not predictions, on his, when he says this is going to happen.
When he hears something.
Because he has a good source.
Hey, look, if you're hearing it in Lexington.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's hearing it. You know, it's getting around.
Yeah.
I heard it from Clarksville.
Oh, yeah.
From people in Clarksville.
Well, we heard.
This was happening.
In March. Hey, we knew at the time that Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State, they were Bolton. We knew it.
You and I were both hearing it.
Yeah, we both knew it. And then they told us, I don't know where you're hearing that Austin Peay's not going to have, but they're going. I don't know when they're going, but they're going. And then the announcement came, like, well, Austin Peay didn't. And then, hey, here we are a few months later, and boom, there we go.
Right.
So they were right, and this all happened in March. We heard that in Evansville. I heard all of those, and they all came to be true. And I didn't hear anything about Belmont bolting, but I think those three making that impact in basketball made Belmont's decision like, look, we got to get out of here. And then once Belmont win, we're here like, okay, right now we don't want to be the next year the kid at the lunch table looking around and we're eating our lunch by ourselves.
Right.
We have our juice box and our sandwich, and no one will sit at the table with us.
And
that's
somebody,
where we're about to be.
Somebody just stole my lunch.
Yeah, there you go. So you're at a spot that you're just, you know, tears running down your cheeks at the lunch table.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I will say this. Whatever happens, I don't think it's the death of the Ohio Valley Conference.
Oh, no, I do not either.
It's just the death of what we know it as.
Yeah. It'll go on.
It'll go on. And here's my wife and I talked a lot about this, who, you know, we've affectionately named the dishwasher, but she does have a name. Aaron and I have talked a lot about this. When you are a incubator league, a lily pad league, you are growing little tadpoles into frogs and large toads, and then they're going to jump somewhere and be bigger elsewhere, in a bigger pond and with bigger fish, bigger things to do.
Usually one at a time, though, Ed.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Not four in a few months.
The whole family
four
left.
Four or five.
Yeah, the whole family left. Yeah. Like five bullfrogs and like two toads and three poison dart frogs. I don't know why I use that reference, but it's just true. Like,
you're at Froggy. There's Froggy behind
you. That's true.
Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you. The Ohio Valley Conference, I think, is a terrific incubator league, a terrific lily pad league, where it goes to grow success, and then that success goes elsewhere. I guess most people just didn't realize that five teams were going to leave at the same time.
Yes.
Because of that lack of perceived vision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the room. I don't know if it's a lack of perceived vision.
Don't know either.
But it's the lack of perceived vision for those four schools. That goes back to what you were saying. What was best for those four schools.
Yep.
Belmont didn't think it was good for them to stay, nor did Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, and EKU. Is Murray State next? I think so, but I do not have concrete evidence of that, and can't say that I'll have that concrete evidence. The way everything's moved, it could be tomorrow or it could be 6 months from now. I mean, you think about Austin Peay's news. You were hearing it in March.
Mm-hmm.
We then got confirmation in September.
Right.
Are Murray State fans going to be left in agony for 6 months?
I don't think it'll be 6 months, but
I just don't think it's
realistic that you may not know anything till around Thanksgiving, a little before then. Maybe.
Yeah, I think because
I don't think it'll happen this month.
It's not easy to sort out all of the things. Here's the one thing that I want to hammer in really quick. You don't have to sort things like Belmont had to sort things.
No.
Belmont didn't have to deal with football.
No.
And I'm not trying to blame anybody for that. It isn't some tumor that's just hanging off your side and you're just like, oh, I got to get rid of this. How do I do it? Like, that's not how this is supposed to work. Football is part of Murray State's profile. It's part of its fabric. It's always been a part of its fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some new thing that people are trying to figure out. It's not some old thing that people hate. It's kind of that middle ground of it's always been in the history of Murray State. Always. Since the very beginnings. And it's always been a strong regional program that has had its ups and downs.
Yeah.
There have been some very successful years, and there have been some years that were forgettable. And there are lots of football programs that can say that, but I think you're in a time right now where, especially with this staff, and you're trying to build up from, you know, you're trying to just ramp up just a little bit to see what it would do to raise the rest of the boats,
okay,
is what Kevin Saul has said time and again. I'm not necessarily even trying to mouthpiece that. I'm just trying to say that's the mindset right now on campus, is we want Murray State football to be successful because it will help everybody be successful. I don't know if I disagree with that. If you take a look at what EKU and JSU did, they left because of football. Yeah, Clarksville's getting a new basketball arena, but it's mostly a municipal facility.
Right, right.
You know, it's being a multi-use thing, you know,
mm-hmm,
kind of what happened with the CFSB Center here in Murray, or at least it was originally supposed to be that. So you just get into this whole dovetail of, well, what does your school want to be? What does your school want to do? And I think Murray State Athletics just wants excellence in general.
Right.
And if that means going to the Missouri Valley to raise that profile, they're going to do it.
And across the board, I think it will. It would if you were invited to the Missouri Valley Football Conference, but if they're not interested in expanding, again, if there are, I don't know what the other landing spots are, but I have no issue playing all the other sports, Missouri Valley, and playing OVC football. Like the league, got Martin, got SEMO, as long as there's no movement there, those are solid teams.
It's a strong regional
Eastern
profile.
Illinois, good more often than they're not good, so I think they'll be fine at some point. And that maybe, who knows, maybe later in the season, there's still a lot of season left.
They have a history that they just always seem to find a way to have four or five great years in a row.
Tennessee State, they stink, right? Oh, no, they go to Austin Peay and beat Austin Peay.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
So,
and here, I want to bring this up again. I know it's a non-conference win. There are a lot of people that thought I was just throwing shade this weekend when I said this is a great non-conference game. No. I think a lot of people have forgotten there are two non-conference games that are conference opponents for everybody in the league this year, mm-hmm. because that was what they voted on to accept the removal of EKU and JSU off everyone's schedule. It was their immediate fix-all. Like, well, how do we fix two games being gone? Oh, we just give everybody two non-conference games.
I think
games.
That's the best solution.
It was brilliant. And I think a lot of people, I tweeted that this weekend, and I think a lot of people thought I was trying to do a nod to the Missouri Valley.
Right.
No. It was really a non-conference game. I wasn't trying to be a smartass. Like, Murray State and Eastern Illinois played a solid non-conference football game this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody in the league has two of those games that are different at different times throughout the year. I know it may sound stupid, but it kept your RPI at a respectable level. It kept, really, people needing to still vote for OVC teams in top 25.
Well, if they beaten Pikeville, who cares? They're going to still ignore it.
Nobody gives a damn.
Oh, you beat Pikeville. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, beat Eastern Illinois. Who have they beaten? What did they do against teams they played? So, keeps you in the conversation, gives you an FBS win if you win. And even if you lose, it gives you an FBS loss, perhaps against a good team.
Right, exactly. Totally agree.
Better than playing Sisters of the Poor and winning 75-2.
Well, and again, you have to go back and you have to tell people football schedules are made out years in advance.
Basketball, you could have solved this pretty quick, just played on a different night, but you can't do it. You just can't do it in football during the Scott conference play.
Yeah, you only have X games open
to
begin with each year.
This year, you have 12 weeks to play 11 games at FCS this year.
Yep.
Unless you get granted a week zero game, you can play that extra game.
Yeah, I loved the fix, and it was easy to just synchronize who had open weeks and who didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and you unfortunately had less teams to deal with.
Right.
Because of the, removal of the three top teams. Sure. So, I mean, you love to see it, and you love to OVC it.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, you see that because the OVC see it's on their thing, and then I realize it meant something else, but another banner, and you can go scroll through the OVC banner on the web, OVC change. It meant something else when they had the banner put up, I know. But OVC change meant completely something else in the last year in the OVC.
It did, and I'm really not trying to screw the dagger in any tighter than it is.
No.
I don't think it's the death of the league.
People have asked me, it isn't. It isn't. I'm not saying that it's not out of the question they could end up merging with somebody, but I actually don't even really think that's going
to
happen.
They're looking to expand.
Yeah, they'll have teams. It'll be different. Some of those seems to be good in some things and not as good in others. And Murray State could be a part of all that. We may find ourselves, we're just going to end up staying here. I don't think that'll happen, but that could be exactly what happens.
I'm sure it's on the table. I mean, that's the last thing I'll leave you with, Neil. And before I mention one other thing, you have to consider that's actually still on the table. Just mathematically, that's just life. I don't know if this is a MVC or bust type of situation. I'm not privy to that conversation, but you have to think that the fallback is, well, we'll just still be in the Ohio Valley Conference. We have a home. You know, maybe we can improve it. I think the one thing that people do need to realize is any move, if it's not even the Missouri Valley, if it's something else, it's going to cost money. Ticket prices will go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expectations will go up. You know, salaries will have to jump. Travel will jump.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean student fees increase? Does that mean a larger booster drive? Does that mean ticket prices go up? Does that mean food costs more? Does that mean you're not going to as many, games on the road with your friends and family because you can't afford it? Like, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say there's repercussions for all choices.
That is correct.
And does that mean we need, does Murray State need more donor dollars? Sure, probably. I mean, more money's always better.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I hate to be gauche about it. But, does a move price out a certain part of the fan base? You know, if it meant higher ticket prices for better profile games more frequently for all sports, I don't know if it does price people out, but maybe it does. I have no idea. I mean, this is just the beginning to of scratching the surface of the possibilities,
right,
in front of everybody. And like I said, if the OVC does expand and Murray State stays, nobody's to say that the teams that they get are going to be close by.
Right.
You got to think about the teams they've got to go get from a travel perspective. Who's nearby that's available?
Yes, that's the key. I don't know. What's your other thing you had?
Oh, Quincy Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Former third-round draft pick from Murray State University, highest draft pick in Murray State history in the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
Couple years at Jacksonville State. Decent. I did say Jacksonville State. I meant the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville State probably could beat the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. But the Jacksonville Jaguars cut him loose after year two. I think he had some injury issues last year. They changed their whole staff. Like Urban mm-hmm. Meyer and everybody came in. And, you know, they built their draft around Trevor Lawrence from Clemson and whatnot. And Travis Etienne and all that jazz. And so they cut ties with Quincy Williams, which is probably not an ideal move. You know, maybe he was drafted a little too high, a little too low. I don't know. But Jacksonville cut loose a third-round draft pick, which doesn't happen often. Typically, they play out their 4 years, and, mm-hmm. you know, something happens if after that point. They play out their rookie contract. So he lands with his brother. The New York Jets take a flyer on him, and he's done nothing but get better just over the last 3 weeks. He absolutely demolished the Titans front line. As a Titans fan, it was kind of funny to see, kind of amazing to watch a former Murray State linebacker who I've interviewed many times, and you have too, Neil, how successful he's been at the college level, that's maybe, knock on some wood there, maybe starting to really translate. Yeah. He had 12 tackles.
That's good.
He had a critical sack of Ryan Tannehill. He absolutely blitzed. Believe that's the A gap, probably be the 1-2 gap right there. Absolutely just destroyed his blind side. Just ransacked him. Tannehill was sacked 7 times. He's on pace to take 72 sacks. And Quincy and his brother Quinnen are the first brother tandem since the sack has been recorded as a statistic. 1982, first year. I was -3.
I was older than that. I was older than 11, Ed.
Oh, okay. You were older than 11 in 1982. That's good. Good. Thanks for that. Thanks for that reminder. I didn't know how to count. But Quincy and Quinnen are the first brothers tandem to record more than 2 sacks and as many tackles as they did together in the game.
That is impressive.
It's impressive. It was also the Jets' first win. They won in overtime. 27-24. Titans missed a 49-yard field goal to tie the game, mm-hmm. to go into a tie. And, bad loss for the Titans. Great win for the Jets. And Quincy has now played 90% of the defensive snaps for the Jets over the last 3 weeks and has, each week progressed. You can tell more tackles, more effective defensively, and he's just been playing some really good football for the Jets.
Well, it won't be less this next week, no doubt.
Yeah.
Now, I have, before we do cut away, I have Cards and Dodgers 7-10 Wednesday. The Reds play when? I just wanted to get the – what is – I see their schedule. They play in April. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ed. What do we got? What else do you have? What do you want to close with?
I don't even know now. I forgot. Jesus, Neil. Thanks, man. You enjoyed that?
I did enjoy it. Yes.
Yeah.
I like sticking the knife in the back and then have you lay down and then stick my foot on the knife.
The sad part about it is the Reds finished 83-79, which if you had told me at the beginning of the season that they would finish 83-79 and just out of the playoffs, I probably would have taken it, considering the losses we had. We lost Trevor Bauer, which they didn't pitch much this year anyway, because, I'm just going to leave that one alone.
Anything we say could be bad.
Yeah, so. Bad news bears there for Trevor Bauer. Yeah. He's a little Bauer outage there. Got a bit of a problem to deal with. Probably some inappropriate behavior there. But we also decided to trade or let Rossiel Iglesias walk. And like I said, if you had told me that we'd finish the season 83-79, I'd be like, oh, that's great. We finished north of .500.
I mean, is the team going to win like 17, 18 games in a row or something and beat you? No.
Right, and that happened because baseball's stupid.
Yeah, it did happen.
But the other thing that didn't happen, though, is there was expectation. I got my hopes up again.
That's right.
We got to July, and it was like, well, this team's actually playing fairly well. Joey Votto is turning back the freaking clock.
Yeah.
You know, Castellanos is playing unbelievable. We've got Wade Miley pitching like he's an all-star. Jonathan India is likely the National League Rookie of the Year. We got all these guys playing well. Oh, we can't close games.
And then Miley went downhill, because I have him on my strat team. Yeah. And for like his last four starts, he was absolutely horrible.
How many freaking leads did we blow?
A lot.
Yeah, we were 83-79, and we blew 8th and 9th inning leads. Just repeatedly, just throughout series, whole series.
And personally, I want to thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm
on
saying.
On behalf of all Cardinal fans.
Like, we were 83-79. Neil, if we just win five of those games, five, instead of being 83-79, you're 88-74.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I mean, and you're just, and maybe that, and maybe of those five games, three of them are maybe against the Cardinals or the Padres, and you just make that situation different. And it just didn't happen. We blew at least 10 games. Blew them.
Maybe next year.
Maybe. It's always maybe next year. God bless it. All right, Neil. I'm done.
That's it.
That's it, man. No more. It's been real. It's been fun. And it's been real fun. And Neil, as soon as... I don't know, man. As soon as I hear if when we're going or when we're staying or what we're doing or who we're doing, I'll let you know.
In other words, fans tuned in to this broadcast for one thing. Are we going or are we staying? In 50 minutes, we didn't tell them a doggone thing.
We didn't tell them a damn thing. I have no clue.
In terms of that, we did give you some other good information, just nothing there.
Man.
So we have nothing.
You love to see it, Neil. Appreciate it.
A show about nothing. Hey, that's been done.
That's for those who inquired.
All right.